Greetings to you, and thank you for tuning in to the Joy of Discovery radio program today. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and I want to welcome you to our program that is brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. We are currently in a study of the book of Revelation. We are in Revelation chapter 22. As a matter of fact, we only have a couple messages left, and then we will be completely through this study. So if you want to open your Bible to Revelation chapter 22, that's where we will be today. But before we get into our study, I want to pray with you, and then we'll get right to our Bible study. Father, today, as we gather around the radio, Lord, we look at a very important message, and I pray, dear Father, that as we look at this message, that, Lord, that the hearts and the minds of the listeners will be stilled, and, Lord, that people would step back and take a look at their lives to be sure of their salvation. Lord, maybe there's somebody that's tuned in today that doesn't know Christ as Savior, and so we pray that you'll take this message and use it in a way that would bring them to the cross and bring them to where they place their faith in Jesus. Don't let, Lord, we pray you will keep the enemy from stealing away the seed of the gospel today. We commit now this study to you, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, good to be with you today. Let me just give you a heads up on something, if I could. A reminder. Sometimes I forget to give you these reminders, but if you ever would desire any of our programs, to listen to any of our programs, everything is on our website, claysburgbiblechurch.com. You can find the notes for every message on there. You can find the audios. You can find the videos. Whatever you would desire, they are all on our website. So you feel free to access that if you would desire. If you would ever want to a copy of the printed out notes, if you don't have a means to do that, if you'd ever want a CD for your own, all you need to do is get a hold of me, get a hold of us, and we will be sure and get that to you. Okay, today we come to Revelation. We have two more messages to complete our study. This one and one more after this one. Then the third one that we're going to do, the very last one, will be an overview of the entire book. And you'll see that as we come together for that study. Today, we're looking at the last invitation. We're going to examine this last invitation. It's recorded in the book of Revelation. And whenever I put this together and I read over it, it made me stop and think about the last invitation, which some people will ever hear. There will come a day whenever you will hear a last invitation. There will come a day when grace will come to an end for you. All chances to come to Jesus Christ will be gone. The frightening thing is you don't know which invitation will be the last. It may be that the invitation which you hear today will be the last one that you will ever hear. So I want you to listen real close to what we're going to say today. Let me also take a moment and remind you that if you die in your sins, you will eventually be cast into the lake of fire, and you will be issued a degree of punishment. You will suffer for all eternity. In heaven, there are different degrees of rewards. In the lake of fire, there will be different degrees of suffering based upon multiple things. Because you have been exposed to the truth of God's word and you have heard the gospel, if you die in your sins, your suffering will be very severe. I use Luke chapter 12 to back that statement up. Luke 12, verse 40 and then 46 to 48 says this, "Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the believers, unbelievers. And that servant which, listen to this, knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, did not, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required, and to Whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. With all of that said, this message is very important for you. Three times in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, Jesus tells us he's coming quickly. And that word quickly is in actually in the present tense, and it means he's currently on his way. The idea is that it's imminent. The return of Christ is imminent. It is the three announcements by Jesus which bring about this last invitation. Notice, if you would, Revelation 22:17. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Here in this verse, there are actually three invitations, or maybe we could say three separate invitations given by three different groups. First of all, there's an invitation from the Spirit and the Bride. This is an invitation extended to Jesus Christ from the Holy Spirit and the church. The church is made up of true believers, and we who walk in fellowship with our Lord certainly look for his return. We look for him at all times. Listen to the words of an unnamed teacher, and I quote, throughout the centuries, God's people have waited for, prayed for, hoped for, and watched for Christ's return. They are weary of the battle against sin and long to see Jesus Christ exalted, glorified, and honored. They long for him to return and to take them to heaven to live with him forever. They long for the day when their perishable, immortal bodies will be transformed into their imperishable, immortal resurrection bodies. They know that in that glorious day there will be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more death. Rebellion will be swiftly dealt with. God and the Lamb will be glorified and will reign forever over the new heaven and the new earth, unquote. Why would the Holy Spirit long to see the return of Jesus Christ? Let me answer that. Since the fall of man, the Holy Spirit has been resisted. He's worked against the sin in man's heart, and he has been mocked and blasphemed. He has witnessed the suppression of God's word, and he has witnessed multitudes ridicule Jesus and his sacrifice for sin. This will all reach a pinnacle in the tribulation. And because the Holy Spirit will not always strive with man, he truly longs to see Jesus Christ return to usher in the eternal state. Another reason is because the work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. And when Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation, he will come in all of his glory. The world will see him as the sky breaks open and his glory shines forth. So back to the verse again, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, speaking to Christ. It's an invitation for Jesus to return. Second thing I want you to consider, it's an invitation from those who hear. Watch verse 17 again. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. This is an invitation from those who hear and get saved in the tribulation. They too will look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. This invitation will certainly be from the heart, for those who do get saved during the tribulation will suffer greatly for their faith. Matthew 24:9-10 and then 21-22 read like this. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So there is an invitation by those that hear, those that get saved in the tribulation. Number three, there's an invitation from God to all those who have not yet come to Jesus Christ. Watch verse 17 again. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. This invitation is to those who thirst and to whosoever will. These are two very important terms. Thirst speaks of a need. The invitation here is to those who see and acknowledge their need and realize that Jesus Christ alone can meet the need. The entire world is thirsty, but they're content to drink from the cisterns of the world. If you have never come to Jesus Christ, then you too are thirsty. There is a deep internal need within you, and you've been living for the things of the world in an attempt to satisfy that inward thirst. But no matter what you reach for, no matter what you gain, it's never enough. The thirst may be quenched for a short time, but then it returns and you look for something else. You are weary as you continue to drink from the cisterns of the world. You look forward to a day when you will be able to retire, maybe, and when you will have enough that you can sit back and coast for your retirement years. That will be a day when the train finally pulls into the station. But I can tell you that that train will also be empty. That day of retirement will come, but you will find it will be like all the other goals you look forward to. It will leave you empty. That thirst within you will only be quenched by coming to Jesus Christ. That is it. A retirement will not quench that thirst. A new camper, a new truck, a vacation home, so on and so forth. Whatever you can think of, those things will not quench that thirst. Only Christ can quench that thirst. John chapter 6, verse 35 says this, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." John 7, 37 and 38 say this, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." If you will come to Jesus Christ, he promises that from your heart will flow an abundance of living water. But let me ask you a question. Do you know what that means? First of all, it means you will experience the abundant life which Jesus promised. John 10:10 says this, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That's what you're looking for in your life. That's what you are searching for. In all the possessions and all the places that you go and things that you buy, that's what you are looking for. You're looking for the abundant life. But that abundant life can only be found in Christ. That's what he says. He says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Another thing that it means is you will become a channel through which God will reach others. The living water that'll flow from you will be a channel that will reach into the lives of others. Listen to what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. He said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Jesus Christ will save you, and he will give to you the satisfaction which you're looking for. God offers, in Isaiah 55, he offers water, wine, and milk. The order there is very important. Water sustains life. That is our salvation. Wine speaks of joy, which is a result of salvation. Milk speaks of the believer's growth. So, God says to you, if you will come to me, I will give you satisfaction. I will give you joy. And you will grow in me. You will grow in spiritual growth. And you will find true satisfaction. I want to take you to John chapter 2. If you have a Bible, if you have your Bible there, you can turn to John chapter 2. It's the very first miracle recorded in the Bible. It's a wonderful picture of salvation. Watch verses 1 through 5. In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto his servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. He's about to perform a miracle. Listen, if you would, to verse 6. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. These water pots that are here, these empty water pots, these clay water pots, they are a picture of man. There are six of them. It says there in verse 6, and there were set there six water pots of stone. Six is the number of man. Revelation 13:18 says this, Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. Man was created on the sixth day, his number is six. So these six water pots represent man. They are made of clay, and that's what we are also made of. Job 33:6 says, Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead, I also am formed out of clay. These water pots are empty and cold, which is a picture of man's spiritual condition before salvation. This is a picture of you if you don't have Christ as Savior. You are cold and you are empty. You are dead in your sins. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So these pots, these empty cold stone water pots, represent man. Now watch what happens. Verse 7. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. So he gives a command to fill the water pots with water. They make them completely full. I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. The water here is symbolic of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, 26 and 27 says, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. So the water being symbolic of the Word of God here in this text, and we see in John chapter 2, a picture of the unsaved man being filled up with the Word of God. That's the picture. The Word of God. He's hearing the Word of God. That's the idea. Watch 8 through 10. And he saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. When they dipped into the clay pots, they found that a miracle had happened. The water had been turned into wine. This is a picture of what happens to the sinner when the Word of God is poured into his or her life and they accept the Word of God. They have faith in the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me get you back to the miracle. The clay pots are a picture of man. The water is a picture of the Word. And the wine, listen to this, is a picture of joy. That's the miracle that happens. Isaiah 24:11 says this, There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. When a person hears the gospel and they respond by accepting it and resting their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and God performs a miracle within them, he gives them the heart of Jesus Christ. They are transformed. They are born again. It's different. That emptiness that once existed no longer exists anymore. 2 Corinthians 5:17, speaking of the transformation, says this: therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. It's a transformation. Then, as we follow the Lord, we experience the fullness of the joy. John 15, 7 through 11 says this: if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's what God wants to give you. That's what Jesus Christ wants to give you. He wants to give you his joy. He wants to give you that. So if you will be willing to turn to Christ, if you'll be willing to turn to him, he will transform your life. He will give you that lasting satisfaction, quenching that thirst within you. And he will give you an experience of true joy in your life. You've never lived till you've walked with the Lord and you've experienced his joy. I'm not talking about the joy of the world. I'm not talking about joy that you can stir up. I'm talking about his joy, supernatural joy. Let me go back to Revelation 22 again. The next point, those who will be excluded, watch 22:14, if you would. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city. Those who enter into heaven are referred to as those that do his commandments. This is the evidence of salvation. It's not the means of being saved. We're not saved by works. That's not the case. A true believer will have within him a desire to live in obedience to the word of God. 1 John 2:3 through 5. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. The fruit of the works in our life, that is the evidence of true salvation. We're not saved by works. We don't work for salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Watch Revelation 22:15. He says, for without having our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. The dog here, that's a reference to homosexual male prostitutes. It's exactly what that is, referring to homosexuality. Sorcerers, that's one who uses drugs, potions, spells, and enchantments. Whoremongers refers to a man who practices fornication. Murderers, we know what that is. Idolaters, those that bow down to idols. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Conclusion today. Maybe you fall into one of these categories. Sorcery, whoremonger, murderer, idolater, the dogs, the homosexuality. Maybe you fall into one of those and you're wondering, can I be saved? Can I be saved from my sin? The answer is yes. Watch 22:17 again. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The invitation is to whosoever will. That means anyone who sees their need and is willing to come to Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." Catch those words? "Such were," past tense, "were some of you." Some of you were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals. That's what abusers of themselves with mankind means. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. "Such were some of you." Listen to what he goes on to say. "But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." These people that were made up the Corinthian church, they were once living very corrupt lives, very sinful, immoral lives. They were saved. So I will say this to you. I don't know what your lifestyle consists of. I don't know what who's hearing my voice right now, but I will say this. No matter how deep you are into sin, no matter how far you are, you can be saved if you are willing to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. He will save you. He will save you from the very sin that you are entrapped in right now. Maybe it is homosexuality. Maybe it is drug abuse. Maybe it's alcohol abuse. Maybe it's pornography, whatever it is. He will save you from that if you are willing to come and trust him as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm out of time. But I want to thank you for joining us today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. If you would ever desire a copy of any of our messages, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us and include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Immler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Immler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we see you in church or we meet around the radio, might you have a blessed week.